Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Marathon Next-Gen Realty Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Michelle. Good afternoon to all the participants on the call, and thanks for joining this Q3 FY23 earnings call for Marathon Next-Gen Realty Limited. Please note that we have mailed out the press release and presentation to everyone, and you can also see the results on our website as well as it has been uploaded on the stock exchange. In case if you have not received the same, you can write to us and we'll be happy to send it over to you. Before we proceed with the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties and other factors. It must be viewed in conjunction with our businesses that would cause future result performance or achievement to differ significantly from what is expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. To take us through the results of this quarter and answer our questions, we have with us the management of Marathon Next-Gen, represented by Mr. Chetan Shah, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Mayur Shah, Vice Chairman, Mr. Kewal Shah, Project Head, NeoHomes, Mr. Samyak M. Shah, Project Head, Marathon Futurex and NextZone, and Mr. S. Ramamurthy, Chief Financial Officer and Whole Time Director. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the quarter gone past, which will then be followed with a Q&A session. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Chetan Shah. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Binay. Dear investors, good afternoon and very warm welcome to all the participants for joining the Q3 FY23 earnings call of Marathon Next-Gen Realty Limited. Since this is our first earnings call for the analyst and investor community, we would like to give a brief introduction about the company and the group before we proceed with the operational and financial highlights for the quarter. Marathon Next-Gen Realty Limited, MNRL, is an MMR, Mumbai Metropolitan Region-based real estate player listed on Bombay Stock Exchange and National Stock Exchange. Marathon Group took over the management control of 1978 BSE-listed company, Piramal Spinning and Weaving Mills Limited, in the year 2003. MNRL was amongst the first corporates to envision the future of Lower Parel, not only as a high-end residential hub, but also as an alternate business district. Its first mixed development project in Lower Parel consisted of Era, a residential high-rise building, and Innova, an ultra-modern commercial unit that became benchmarks in the vicinity and is even now hailed as amongst the best projects in that area. Through this project, the company set many new milestones and had created enormous wealth to its shareholders, who were rewarded with four liberal bonus issues, which currently makes 97% of equity as bonus equity. MNRL has an uninterrupted dividend history except for the two pandemic years. It currently has more than 7,500 shareholders. Under corporate governance, MNRL is committed to provide and achieve the highest standard of customer service. The vision is to provide the customer a product meeting the highest standards of excellence at the most reasonable price. Our corporate governance practices are reflected of our value system, encompassing our culture and relationship with our stakeholders. The executive directors are highly qualified and have considerable experience in the realty sector. Eminent engineers, architects, chartered accountants are part of the independent directors. MNRL has its presence across various segments, high-rise office spaces through our Marathon Futurex, a 38-storied commercial project at Lower Parel, occupied by marquee customers like ZTV, L'Oréal, Nykaa, and another 26-storied Marathon Millennium with small offices under construction at Mulund. In residential sector, we have presence through three sub-brands, Marathon Monte, Marathon Next, and Marathon Neo. Monte consists of luxury residential spaces. For example, our joint venture project Monte South at Baikala. 465-story residential towers are being built there, out of which three towers have already been launched. The next brand, NEX, Next, consists of townships like Panvel, Next Zone project consisting of 16 towers of 30 plus floors, each within 5 kilometers of the upcoming Panvel airport. We have three more towers that are yet to be launched. Affordable housing through our next category is NEO. NEO category consists of SRA projects at Bhandup and smaller units. The NEO Square and NEO Park are examples, and few more are scheduled to be launched soon. Let me now talk about Marathon Group promoter of MNRL, holding 74% controlling stake in MNRL, has employee strength of more than 800 who can carry out A to Z of all the functions of real estate in-house, from acquisition of land, legal due diligence, planning and design, approval, engineering, material procurement, site execution, marketing and sales. Marathon has all of it in-house. Marathon Group started in 1969 by late Ramani Lal Z. Shah, my father, and is managed currently by his two sons, myself, Chairman and Managing Director Chetan Shah, and my brother Mayur Shah as Vice Chairman. Our next generation, my son Kaivalya and Mayur's two sons, Parmeet and Samyak, are handling various functions and projects independently. All five promoters have had their education in USA related to real estate and have joined business. Friends, Marathon Group has land banks of more than 100 acres at Thane, 90 acres at Dombivli, more than 100 acres of slum-occupied land at Bhandup, and more than 100 acres of land at Panvel periphery, which can be leveraged in a joint venture or joint development agreement with listed company MNRL at opportune time. Group's policy is to develop most of the new projects through listed company MNRL. Friends, now let me take you through some of the key operational highlights of MNRL during the quarter. During the quarter, we achieved a total sales booking of around 271 crore rupees. This includes a one-time big sale of 163 crores worth of office spaces given to CDSL at FutureX, at measuring about 46,000 square feet carpet area. Area sold during the quarter increased to 1.66 lakh square feet in quarter 3 FY23 owing to primarily considerable bookings from the FutureX and NextZone projects. Collection for the quarter were robust at more than 300 crores. There was an improvement in realization price to rupees 19,800 per square feet for commercial and 8,600 rupees per square feet for residential segment. Now coming to the financial results for the quarter and 9 months ended December 2022. Revenue from operations increased to rupees 278 crores in Q3 FY23 versus 68 crores in Q3 FY22. For 9 months, FY23 stood at 546 crore compared to 141 crore for previous 9 months ending 22. EBITDA increased to rupees 103 crore for Q3 FY23 compared to 3.4 crore in Q3 FY22. EBITDA for 9 months, FY23, was at rupees 242 crore compared to 7.7 crore in 9 months FY22. The EBITDA margin stood at 49.2% for Q3 FY23 compared to 35.1% in Q3 FY22. The company's profit after tax stood at 80 crore in Q3 FY23 versus 77.6 crore in Q3 FY22 and rupees 107 crore in 9 months ending December 2023 as against December 2022 as against rupees 15.6 crore in 9 months FY22. Now coming to the debt position of the company, our current outstanding net debt is at 883 crore and net debt to equity stands at 1.15, which is targeted to be reduced to less than 1 in next two quarters. Friends, we continue to expand and scale our operations and focus on profitable growth and in maintaining a healthy balance sheet. We are witnessing strong demand across both residential and commercial space, and accordingly, we have planned various launches over the coming period where we expect healthy response. Also, as you are aware, that Marathon Group is sitting on a vast land bank across Mumbai metropolitan region, which we intend to utilize for development by way of asset-light model for MNRL, such as joint venture or joint development agreement. As such, we believe we are well positioned and remain confident of healthy growth going forward. With this, friends, I would like to open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Gopal Agarwal from Augment Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir.
Hello.
Sir, hi, sir. Congrats for your good numbers for all this quarter. I had two questions actually to ask.
Yes.
One, as you mentioned that you have a good land bank sitting on your books. So, sir, can you just throw some light at how you want to or how do you plan to utilize the same in terms of launching the new projects on those land banks? And question number two, sir, with respect to price trend, can you just throw some light at what is the thought process that or what do you think how this price trend will continue?
Okay. Just to answer your first question about the land bank, as and when an opportune time comes, whatever land bank is available with Marathon Group, we are transferring it to the MNRL. Now, it could be by virtue of a joint venture or joint development agreement. For example, in Bhandup, the two projects that we are currently executing, new projects, both are in a joint development agreement where 12.5% of the top line is shared to the landowner, which is the group company. So this is how we normally transfer the land bank to MNRL, and MNRL becomes the developer of the project. The second question, what was the second question?
Price trend.
Mayur will answer that question.
Sure.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Gopal.
Hi.
The price trend which we have seen across the project is quite stable kind of thing, but it has increased in last after the lockdown, say, 5%-8%. And depending upon the project's completion stage, the same project we have seen in affordable housing segment up to 5%-8% increase, for example, Nexon in ready position. And similarly, in the commercial office space, we have actually recently seen almost 15% jump for the ready products. So, you know, this is like, it is upward trending, and it's going kind of more depending upon the stage of the project and the completion level of the project.
Okay, sir. So what I understand that there is a robust demand for the upcoming projects, right?
Yeah, that is correct. See, what has happened, what is happening is there is a GST element which is applicable on under construction project. Okay, under construction, my customers, our customers are, whatever they are buying, they are paying us some money, and they are paying on top of that 5% if it is a residential project and 12% if it is a commercial project as GST. So normally, the purchaser would want to try to save that, so they would defer that decision towards the end of the project when occupation certificate is obtained and GST is no more leviable. So that is how the situation happens, and that's how the market is working these days. So when you are close to, you know, finishing and occupation certificate is received, the prices jump because there is a higher demand.
Thank you, sir. I think I've been answered. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Gopal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Please proceed.
Yeah, yep. Am I audible?
Yes, Deepak, you are audible.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity, and, I mean, many congratulations for the wonderful set of numbers. So I just wanted to understand, first up, you mentioned about the asset-light model, right? So can you throw some light, I mean, so how you are looking to progress, I mean, in terms of JDA or even it goes for reconstruction, the society. So how are we looking ahead? Like if you look at some of the peers like Colt Bartel and all, they are looking a lot in terms of JDA in the Mumbai region, right? So how do we look at on these aspects?
See, all any real estate company, when they want to execute a project, they need capital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The difference between a regular project where you buy land, where capital requirement is much higher, against you enter into joint venture or joint development agreement with a landowner, where capital requirement is less. So what we call asset-light model is, you don't end up paying, you know, consideration for the land. And that is what we are saying, that in Bhandup, where we have done the two projects, the land consideration to be, is to be paid at the end of the project or as you go along the project. So it is a, you know, part of the revenue sharing arrangement where this happens. So in such a scenario, you can do more square feet with less capital, and that's why asset-light model is preferred for companies to show higher turnover at the same capital. So that is how things are working.
No, no. So I understand that the asset-light model. I just wanted to understand, what are our plans on it?
Yeah, so our plans are also, as and when a project is ready to be launched.
Mm-hmm.
We have a JDA with the listed entity. When I'm saying the landowner, which is a Marathon Group company, would have a joint venture or joint development agreement with the listed entity, MNRL, and MNRL would execute it. So most of the projects that the group, most of the land bank that group company is holding, is going to be converted into projects at the listed entity level.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point, because that will kind of boost your scale, right? I mean, in terms of number of project and with minimum capital required, right?
Right.
So how do we see the cash flows then? I mean, if you have to see over next 3 to 5 years, how would you look at the cash flows, considering the project pipeline that we might have?
We have uploaded a PowerPoint presentation on our website, and we don't want to actually give any forward-looking statement here. But if you see those numbers, it is very healthy. Currently, this financial year, in this 9 months, we have already had a turnover of 546 crore. And, you know, going forward, we definitely would be achieving about 600 crore. And if you look at the years to come, there is going to be a healthy growth of 15% to 20%, as we have already learned from launch project and not the new project. And on top of that, there is going to be additional new project that will be launched come festive season next Dasara Diwali, when some of the Bandup projects are being planned to be launched.
Fair, but we book revenue post delivery, right? That's the regulation we follow.
No, see, that's the regulation. But from the perspective of paying income tax, what we are doing is we are doing percentage completion method. So, supposing my project is completed 55%. Then 55% of all the agreement value that we have entered in or whatever booking we have entered, that is recognized as a revenue during that period, and cost of such revenue is also debited so that we arrive at some sort of a profit number.
Okay. So we are following the percentage completion method, not the delivery method.
No, we are not doing that.
Okay, fair enough. And sir, because of the recent, increase in interest rate and all, are we seeing any kind of issue in terms of inquiries or even the footfalls or the conversion rate?
Mayur will answer that question.
Samyag here. Okay. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. So our inquiry levels are quite healthy and strong. In fact, we had a few launches even last quarter, and we've seen very healthy, bookings over there as well. Bookings almost crossing, 40% of the launched inventory within 4 or 5 months of launch. So we are not seeing any such slowdown per se. In fact, what we are seeing is that we are growing more in the micro markets that we have because of our track record, because of our delivery, as per customer expectations, we are gaining market share in most of our micro markets. So, as such, we are not seeing any slowdown in inquiry.
And to add to Samyag, what we have seen is right now the mortgage home loan rate is between 9.9 to 9.25. Mm-hmm. If you compare that prior to lockdown, was of that range only. So, we also see that if it doesn't cross 10-10.5%, this affordable housing and the loan-taking people do not really get much affected because of these interest rate hikes which recently occurred.
Fair enough. I got a hang of it. And whenever we go for a project, what's the threshold margin we keep for ourselves, in general, for any project level?
At the project level, we keep 15% as the margin. That is what we are talking about is the cost. Mm-hmm. Okay, all the costs put together plus 15% is the sale value. So that's how we work. What happens in real estate is the projects are all spread over 3 year, 4 year.
Correct.
And also, if you make an asset-light model, then the IRR values are very high. And that is what is more important for us, that EBITDA levels will go between 35% and 45%, looking at the investment made by the companies will be very low.
So what effectively you are saying, ROCs would be very high for you, but EBITDA margin would be in the range of that 15%?
No, EBITDA margin will be between 35% and 45%.
Okay.
Depending upon the type of the project, for example, right now commercial FutureX project, the EBITDA is between 45% to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
While next affordable housing township project, we have, the EBITDA is between 20% and 25%. However, very high volume but low investment neo projects, neo housing, the EBITDA is between 15% and 20%.
Fair enough, I understood. And in terms of, annual bookings, what's the annual booking we are looking at this year, FI 23 as we speak? speak now?
FY23, we have already reached 454 crore in 9 months. Okay, so keeping the same trend, it will probably reach about 600 crore.
In square feet, I was.
3,33,000 square feet of area that we have booked.
And 3.33 lakh square feet of area. And we are looking to grow this at about 15 to 20%, right?
Right. That is how we are targeting ourselves, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Now, and my final question is there any other geographies also? I mean, you mentioned our majority of land bank is in and around, Dombivli, Bhandup, Panvel, within the Mumbai. But any long-term or medium-term plan to go beyond this?
Yeah, we are looking at some redevelopment projects. Mayur will throw some light on that.
Yeah, in the geography, we are very, very MMR specific, your question. We do not want to go beyond MMR as of now.
Okay.
One more category of projects which we would like to add is the redevelopment project, specifically in a little high value kind of a location, let's say Lower Parel, Worli, and beyond up to South Bombay. That's our target segment for redevelopment of a society. And we are already negotiating with a couple of them, and hopefully it will be a longer term process, maybe in years time or so, a couple of projects may fructify.
And going for that would be asset light also, right? Because land would be readily available, so we won't have to spend. I think in Mumbai region, land would be about 60-70% of your cost, ideally.
Yeah, that is true.
Okay, fair enough. That's quite helpful, sir. That's it from my side. All the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Ketam from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible, sir?
Yes. Please proceed.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. So, firstly, I wanted to ask a question of FutureX. So, I understand that on FutureX, we are still left with 2.3 lakh square feet of area to be sold on FutureX. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. And how much of the area sold till now is recognized on the P&L?
I'll just have a look at my paper, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Until then, on the remaining remaining square feet, what we have at FutureX, how do we expect the timeline on this? And, you know, how are the sort of markets looking right now in commercial? How are the inquiries coming in?
Yeah, so approximately what we have right now, we have reached at almost 35th floor in FutureX, and there are 3 more floors yet to be completed. So altogether, you know, when we will be ready with the full potential, it is going to be, we have roughly 2,73,000 square feet to be sold in the future quarters, out of which some of those are already leasing is also going on for the already occupancy ready units. And we already have close to 45,000-50,000 square feet leased right now. And there are some talks going on for the balance ready inventory for leasing and selling.
Understood.
So, just answering your question on the FutureX area, 117,000 is what is sold, and it's in part of inventory, out of which, as Mayur mentioned, 44,000 is already leased. And there is a new product of about 41,000 square feet that we have already done. That makes the tally of the area that you mentioned about 2 lakh. 2 lakh odd. Yeah?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Second question was on sir, our debt. So currently, gross debt we are roughly at 100 crores. And we do understand that it has gone up due to the SSI payments and the working capital requirement. But you know, as we are saying, a lot of our projects are seeing good sales traction. Do we expect this you know, number coming down, you know, maybe to like 300, 400 crores? And sort of what timeline of that?
Yeah, we are expecting all the debt to come down. We are sort of planning at 20% reduction every year. Over the next 4 years, the whole debt can come down. But you have to understand that there are two types of debt in real estate. One is the debt which comes from the project. So as soon as the project is completed and sold, that debt gets repaid. And there is another debt which is on the balance sheet, okay, which is not related to any other project. At Marathon, most of our debt, more than 90% of our debt is project-related debt. So as soon as the project gets completed and sold, that debt gets repaid. So that is how debt will be reduced. But when you take new projects, a new debt will be taken. So on a rotational basis, that is how the cycle will work.
Okay. So basically, whatever project cash flows will reoccur, that will first go towards reduction of debt of that project, and then the rest will come to the company. And then how do we plan, you know, this usage of cash flows?
So that is a new cash flow that will be available for the company to take new projects. So that is where we will be investing in either newer land or initial part of the investment in newer projects.
Okay. And lastly, if you could throw some light on how do we look at FY24-25? For pre-sales numbers, and if possible, including and excluding Monte Carlo, if you could provide some light.
We have, like I mentioned earlier, we have already uploaded a future potential of all the ongoing projects on our website with the value-wise numbers and the square feet-wise numbers. So we don't want to make any future looking statement. However, currently we have already reached more than 600 crore of annual revenue. We are most likely to be reaching 20% growth in the top line in the next financial year.
That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Participants, if you want to join the question queue, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Chetan Phalke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon and thank you for the opportunity. First of all, thank you very much, sir, for conducting the call. And your presentations are really detailed and self-explanatory. Please keep it up, sir. I mean, we have been tracking this company for quite some time, but we always struggle to get the information. So this is really helpful. And one more thing, sir. I have two questions. One is, sir, when we checked on ground, our customer feedback is really great. And we really have a great brand name in MMR builder community, or let's say the consumer community as well. And if we look at our ability to execute and scale up, we believe that we are definitely in the top 10 builders in the MMR region, the Marathon Group. It looks like the baton is being handed over to the next generation now. So I have a specific question for Mr. Kavalya or Kamyan, whoever can take it. Sir, what is your view on simplifying our corporate structure or cleaning up of the related party debt transactions? How do we see that situation unfolding going forward? Because, sir, our parent company, which is Marathon Realty Private Limited, that is much larger in size. So we're just trying to understand what is really happening and what is our thought process on this front as we move forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chetan, for all the compliments that you have given us. Yes, we did realize that the potential for growth is tremendous, and we have actually not tapped the full potential. And that's why all these exercises of IR and others that we are now executing and giving more information, like you mentioned. Transparency has always been a hallmark of Marathon. So we have been giving information, but maybe we were not proactive. If you had come and asked us questions, we would have answered all your questions then. But now this is a forum where questions and answers can be, you know, raised and answered. So coming to simplification of the structure, that is exactly what has been happening at Marathon. And like I mentioned, we are trying to move from all the other projects to projects to into the listed entity. Now what happens in a real estate is there are legacy, you know, land banks that we have already purchased in our group companies. And if we try to transfer it, there would be a big impact on long-term capital gain and big impact on the stamp duty part. So what we are doing is we are trying to, you know, part with it in bits and pieces, and as and when the volume is required in the listed entity and as and when the opportune time for that project has come, most of these projects are being done in listed entity. We are not trying to, you know, continue doing any new projects in privately held companies. So that is how the structuring is, and it is getting simplified. If you see, for example, one of the company, the Marathon Millennium, the project that we are doing, that was a privately held company that has been now become a subsidiary of listed entity, and there is a possibility of it merging with the listed entity so that all the numbers come on the top line of the listed entity. So this is what is the exercise, but this exercise is a little long, so it will happen over a couple of years, but it is already on.
Okay. Yes, sir, we saw that in your recent announcement, and when we saw some transactions related to Swayam and Sanvo, so that is really a welcome step in that direction. So incrementally, most of the new projects will happen in listed entity, or all the projects will happen in listed entity? How should we understand this development?
Most of the new projects will happen in listed entity. Already ongoing projects will continue happening in the privately held sphere.
Okay. But no new launches in the private entity going forward?
Yeah, as far as possible. See, the question is, again, there should be a wherewithal for the listed entity to have. So either we have a higher equity raised in the listed entity and do much bigger projects. That is also one way of looking at it, and we are looking at that also. So depending on the ability to finance such projects, those projects will be transferred. So I can say mostly, if not all. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir, I was just coming to that only. I mean, till date, despite being listed, we really haven't taken advantage of being listed and using our equity as a currency. And that is reflected in our market cap as well. I mean, we can raise 500 crores just by selling a portion of our project, but our market cap itself was 500 crores just like 6, 7, 8 months back. So, I mean, do we see more, because we have a strong project pipeline, and we will definitely need more capital if you are to scale up the listed entity. So do we see the need to raise money from equity markets at some point of time in future, if not now, whenever our valuation is justified?
Yeah. At some time in future, we would definitely want to look at it.
Okay. So, sir, just one last question on our, just trying to understand our launch strategy. What are we thinking in terms of, let's say, we want to sell as much as during our launch phase, or just launch and then hold on to the inventory and sell at an opportune time. What is our thought process? Because usually what we have seen in MMR is there is a temptation to hold on to inventory and take the advantage of future price increases. What is our thought process? I mean, is there any number that, you know, for example, let's say during the launch phase itself, you want to clear out 50-60% of your inventory, or we want to sell as much as possible during the launch phase, or we will take advantage of this? Just trying to understand your thought process on that.
Yeah, I'll just make a brief comment and then pass it on to Kaivalya. See, basically, we are into business of real estate, and we are not into business of speculation. We don't want to make more money out of one project. We would rather make more money out of three projects and, you know, sell as it goes rather than, you know, hold on and not sell. So whenever opportunity is there and market is there, we keep on selling. However, let Kevalya throw some more light on this. Yeah.
Yeah, Chetan, so specifically about your question, every project has its own way of launching. For instance, project in Bhandup, we sell a lot in terms of our launch. So it could be around 30%-40% is what we sell during the launch. Whereas in our luxury, we do not sell as much. Again, it all depends upon how we want to market it. For example, every specific project, we break it down into multiple smaller projects and then do the launch. It all depends upon the kind of cash flow that we want. So in short, every project has its own percentage in terms of what we want to, how much we want to sell during the launch. But as Chetan said, we are not into speculation. If at all we see an opportune time where we feel that we want to sell a huge amount to generate a lot of cash flow, that's what we would do. And Samyak also would like to throw some light on it.
Just a couple of points beyond what Kevalya said, that the general price trends, while they have increased, the opportunity cost of holding it versus finishing it and reinvesting it, I think we are seeing more benefit in doing the first, which is reinvesting the proceeds into new projects. So given that, we would like to sort of generate the cash flow and put it in new projects. However, in the last 2 years, we've, at least in the mid-income and the affordable, we've seen a lot of commodity prices escalation as well. And there is one thought, which is there should be some cushion in a specific building or a project where you have a certain percentage of the inventory, which you just sell closer to completion or near to completion so that you can maintain your margins. In a situation where you're sold 100% and if you see a lot of price escalation, that can have an impact on margins. So we keep balancing between that and whatever helps us maintain our margins while at the same time selling well and completing the project faster, I think we would go ahead with that choice.
Okay, okay. So sir, at a company level, at a blended level, what kind of margin do you want to protect going forward, let's say at an EBITDA level or any other number that you are aiming for?
You're talking about EBITDA margin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in commercial segment, just to tell you what, just to repeat what Mayur had already mentioned, in commercial segments, we have 45%-50% EBITDA margin. What has happened is the land has been historically bought, so the cost of land is lower. So we are generating about 45%-50% EBITDA margin in commercial project. In the next brand, NEX, which is affordable segment and our township projects, we are making about 20%-25% EBITDA margin. And in the most affordable segment, which is a NEO, where the cost of premises is about 60 lakh rupees or lower, there we are making 15%-20% margin. So these are variations. And then, of course, if you try to do quarter to quarter and year to year, the numbers change depending on the progress of the project.
Okay, okay. And sir, I just have one more last question. If I can squeeze it in, can I go ahead or I can come back with you?
Yeah, sure, go ahead, Chetan. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So sir, I have a question on Bhandup. I mean, it's a huge project. It can be a potentially huge pipeline for us going forward. I mean, it can continue for the next 15, 20 years, given the size of the parcel and the size of the project. And SRA can be a big thing from what we understand or from what we read in the newspapers. And already, via Jio, we do have a track record of executing the projects in that area, and others haven't really been able to execute like Marathon. So what is your vision on Bhandup? Can it be a game changer for the company going forward, sir? I mean, can it really lead most of our incremental growth over the next decade? I'm just trying to understand our thoughts on the SRA projects and the profitability on SRA going forward.
Sure. So 3 years ago, when we sat on the table and tried to work out where the turnovers are going to come from in future, we realize that most of the turnovers in Mumbai real estate is going to come from redevelopment projects. Now, redevelopment projects could be redevelopment of societies or redevelopment of slums. And we saw that it is easier to get into redevelopment of slums because the parameters are already fixed by the government. The size of the flat to be given, the rentals to be given, and, you know, to be delivered. So all those numbers and things are not left to negotiation. While in redevelopment of societies, each society is independent, and in each society there would be 100 people, you know, everybody would have different thought on that. So easier process was slum redevelopment, and that's how we entered slum redevelopment process. And at currently we have a land bank of more than 100 acres, which is, like you rightly mentioned by you, you know, it can continue for 15 years or so, even more. The idea is to get that experience in next 5 years, you know, to set up the team. Currently we have 800 odd employees, and our slum people, I mean our slum team, can actually go into the slum, do the survey, actually talk to the people, get the agreement signed. We are not hiring any outsourcing on this, you know. That's one of the important thing is Marathon, that whatever we do, everything has been built in-house, and we have this ability to do that. So the first few projects are little slower because we are building up our capability, but now everything has set into the cycle and things are happening on a routine basis. So in Bhandup, you know, you would keep on seeing maybe every 3 months some project or one of the phases of each project getting launched. So that's how we see the progress happening. As for the margin, yes, the margins are very low. So one has to be very careful about selling in advance and delivering at a future date. Because as Samyak mentioned, sometimes the commodity prices like cement and steel, they grow very fast and they get into our cost structure at a high level and the margins get squeezed. But these are something which gel well with Marathon's philosophy of not only generating profit but also doing something for the society. And if you see the project that we have delivered and people living there, particularly the rehab building where earlier they were living in slum, and the kind of feedback that they give us, you know, that gives us more pride than of course the money. And money is also there. I'm not saying that we are doing it for charity, but that is what is the philosophy at Marathon.
Also, to add to it, the biggest advantage that we have in Bhandup also versus you know, other builders across Bombay is most of the land is owned by our group company. So in terms of you know, we reduce a few steps in the whole process. Also, you know, around the slum rehabilitation, we have actually developed a whole team of around 50 to 70 people who can actually directly interact, you know, with the people living in the slum. We have our local offices also in the slum. So in terms of gearing up for future projects and, you know, development in Bhandup slum, we're all geared up to do that.
Got it. Sir, what is the, I mean, I'm not asking for any particular guidance per se, either I'm going to hold you for it, but for the next, over the next, let's say, 15 years or so, what kind of revenue potential does this project has? I mean, particularly the Bhandup one.
It is huge. It is humongous. You know, if you try to look at 100 acre and try to convert that, if it was to be converted today, that would be huge. So there is no point in discussing that. But yeah, it will contribute to 30% of our turnover over the years. That's what we feel. Currently, it is very small percentage, but it will keep on growing.
Yes, so we try to back calculate that. That's how I'm asking this question.
Yeah, I understand. That is a smart question. One Chetan to another Chetan, yeah.
All right, so just one last thing for Mr. Kavalyan Samyak, because I think now, over the last 10 years, Mumbai real estate had its own challenges and its own, went through a down cycle, and now things are looking brighter comparatively. So by the end of this cycle, I mean, as things are looking good for the next 5-7 years, By the end of this cycle, where do we see, what is your vision for Marathon Group? Where should we in terms of, let's say, pre-sales or let's say the square feet launches over the next 5, 6, 7 years? And along with Bhandup, I mean, will we see more projects in the MMR, especially in the Panvel region because of the Trans Harbour and the other connectivity airports and other infra projects which are coming up in that area? Yeah, please.
Yeah, Chetan, so the thing is, infra is getting developed in Panvel area, and the land parcels that we are talking about, the group has more than 100 acres, is within 10 kilometers of the new airport that is coming in. New planning authorities has already been established as NAINA, the airport neighboring authority, and they have also come up with their future plan. So all these things are going to take place in next 5 years or so, when the airport is also likely to be ready. So these will impact that. So we are geared for that. We are not going to be launching anything very soon in Panvel. And like you mentioned, we are looking at a couple of redevelopment projects in the city, that is Lower Parel and further south, South Bombay. So if those redevelopment projects come up, that will also contribute towards the future turnover. You want to add something?
Yeah, just to add to that, you know, the guidance or the aim, so to say, has already been given that we would like to grow upwards of 15% year on year. But I think some things that we have also learned from the past is that we want healthy, profitable and sustainable growth. So while there are a lot of different opportunities, you know, having a healthy balance sheet, having profits in the project, and having, you know, because real estate has its inherent risks, so having the risk mitigated, I think those are the broad directional points that we'll keep in mind while growing in the future.
Yeah, to add to that also, since the time Samyak, me and also Parmi joined the organization, we've seen you know, lots and lots of ups and downs. You know, we've seen demonetization, GST regime, you know, RERA coming in, COVID. So I think, you know, we have seen a lot in our tenure itself. And I think the three of us are definitely geared up to take it to the next level. That being said, we're also, you know, gearing in terms of the machinery of the organization. We're bringing the new systems, ERP, SAP, and we're implementing a lot of the smaller software within the organization that throw out data, you know, that we're using, which we can perform better in the coming years. So these are some ways in which we are geared up. Of course, we have a land bank at, you know, amazing location, Panvel, Bhandup, Thane, as we mentioned in our presentation. So these are locations that cannot fail us ever, because these are in the middle of, you know, the growth spots, which is Panvel, Thane and Bhandup. So I feel in terms of machinery is getting, machinery is ready, and raw material is something we have. So I think there is no stoppage here.
Great, sir. Great, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you for patiently answering all my questions. And I wish you all the best, sir. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dev Achmera, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Sir, I wanted to inquire about what's the update on the Borivali property. There was some litigation with the government on that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Just to brief you on Borivali property, it was a part of the property acquired from Khatau Mill, and it was already litigated when we acquired it. So it was through BIFR that we had acquired it, and it was already litigated in the sense that government claimed that the whole land belongs to government under Urban Land Sealing Act. They had already acquired it, and while Khatau kept on saying that no, you have not acquired it in time. So all these difficulties were there. So in that process, we at our listed entity, we have exited from Borivali property. So Borivali is not going to be part of our development anymore.
But in one of your annual reports, you said that while the company would continue to execute as a partner on the ongoing Baikonur project, the company would withdraw its investment from the Borivali project and let its partner develop the Borivali project. So your partner, which is your JV in the present Baikonur project, would continue to develop the Borivali project also?
Well, whether the Borivali project gets developed or it doesn't get developed, that is not something that is our concern anymore. But yes, now we are not part of it. Our partner fully handles the Borivali property while we continue to be partner in Baikonur.
But from that land, we get some amount or not?
Yeah, we get all our investments and everything is back. Yeah.
So
we already collected that money.
Okay.
That is already reflected in the previous quarter, and this quarter also in the notes it has got reflected.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, all the investors, for participating in today's conference. It was a learning experience for all of us, and we look forward to seeing your support in future conferences. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Meriton NextGen Realty Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.